Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's hit the guest line, kicking off this hour. Baseball the theme early here on this Tuesday. Let's welcome aboard David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ, Major League Baseball analyst, former executive with the Marlins. Hey, David, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Dave, what's up?
Hey, my pleasure. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Dave, where do you fall? You know, Taz and I, we started the program. You know, interesting comments from the MLB commissioner, then a reaction from Tony Clark and the Players Association. David, where do you fall in terms of this free agency marketplace? Who's right?
You know, it's the ugly underside of the business of baseball. And for fans, we want it to be just entertainment, but at the end of the day, it's the business. And you've got an ownership group and a union group who are positioning themselves because there's so much negativity. And look what we're talking about during spring training. This is the conversation. That's the main problem. And where I come out is that we need to be doing and talking baseball and keep it on the field as much as possible.
Yeah.
No, I get, you know, I understand that. But, I mean, if you look at the topic, and we'll get to baseball here, but, I mean, the fact that Machado, Harper, Kimbrel, and Keuchel are all still out there, right? When you look at this scenario, is this a market adjustment by owners, or is this a case of some owners being cheap and not spending?
No, I think it's definitely the former. This is players who do not have an understanding of where they fit into the current market. They believe they fit in a place where the market used to be, and that they just have to adjust. And I've been talking about it publicly and privately to anyone who will listen on top of the mountainside, because the reason for Harper not being signed is he expected to get more than Stanton, and he's just not going to get it, and he's holding out hoping that an owner just caves, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Interesting. Very interesting, Dave. What do you think the ultimate solution is, Dave, for this free agency mess?
So let's put it in other ways. Let's talk about you. If you're negotiating a contract and you want to get paid a certain amount, but your bosses at CBS Radio right. don't want to give it to you, what exactly are you going to do about that? You're going to look for another radio station, but if they won't give it to you, then eventually you're going to have to adjust your expectations for what you are worth and what you will get paid. And right now we're in that adjustment period where the players are adjusting to what the fact is. And the fact is they can't get a contract or the number of years. Let's talk about Kimbrel. He wanted 5 years. He wanted Jansen or Chapman, but it's not going to happen. So he's got to figure out if he's willing to take the 1 or 2 year deal and get back on the field.
All right. Now you look at, say, what do you think the market is here? Where do you think we are with, you know, the two big position players, Machado? Where's the market right now for Machado?
You know, we've all read that the White Sox and the Padres are in on him. The Yankees would like to do a shorter-term deal with him, which I totally understand. And I don't think Machado hurt or helped himself with his comments during the playoffs about not hustling. And the fact is he's a great, great player, and he would be great on a lot of teams at the right price. And him going to San Diego just doesn't make sense. The White Sox offered him a very, very good deal. Let's say it was 8 years, $175 or $200 million. It's hard to turn your back on that. The question is, will he choose winning now, which would be a Yankees deal, a short-term Yankees deal, or does he want to maximize, get the most money he can? I still think Machado may secretly, quietly end up with the Yankees for a shorter deal.
Holy yeah, wow. And that's the interesting thing, David, because that seems to be the draw where the place that he desires to play or the team that's offering the greatest financial package, because they're not one and the same.
Yeah, and I think we all go through that, right, in our work and in our life. Do you choose to go where the money is, or do you choose, you know, happiness and a location that you want to be in? Very often in life, if you choose something just based on money, you're going to end up unhappy. And we've seen it with a lot of players who sign long-term deals in cities they don't want to be in, on teams they don't want to be on, and all of a sudden they're demanding trades or they're just miserable. And every player has to decide for himself what he wants to do.
We're talking to David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ, Major League Baseball analyst. Dave, on the topic again of Machado, let me ask you from a fan perspective. I want to get your opinion, what you think maybe fans are thinking, if you could get in the skull of fans, right? You mentioned the hustle comment, you know, what Machado said, that you don't think it's hurting him in the business end of it. From a fan perspective, he's on said team, a new team, whatever, it's Padres, Yankees, whoever. Do you think that's in in the bulk of the fans' head that he said that? Because, you know, fans think different than the business side, as you know.
Of course. And from a fan standpoint, I don't know what Machado was thinking by saying that. I think, did he have a moment of honesty? Or did he just, you know, when you're in front of the media every day, do you sometimes say things you wish you hadn't said?
True.
I've been there, so I get that.
True.
But when he signs with the team, that fan base is going to be happy, but he's going to have to earn it every single day. Because when you sign a big contract, fans get jealous. They're looking to boo. You know, look at Stanton. The Yankee fans booed him when he would strike out, because he had the big contract, he was traded to the team, but players just have to get through that and earn the fans' love every single day.
You know, David, you know, to Harper here, and we know that Boris is looking to try and make every last dollar for him. You know, there was the reports over the weekend that they were rounding third base with the Philadelphia Phillies. We're sitting here on Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock Eastern time, and still no deal in place with the Philadelphia Phillies. I guess here for Harper, we know the teams that are reportedly in on him. It's not every team, obviously, and he's looking for a huge financial package. What do you think ends up being the deciding factor for Harper?
What it's always been when you're a Boris client, it's money. So that's an example of someone, when you choose an agent like Scott Boris, you know that it's not for the love of the game, it's for the love of money, and that's his right. And I respect him for it. He's a great player, and he's going to make a team better. But again, if I'm running the team, which I have run, it's very hard to explain to an owner that I'm going to bring in Bryce Harper for $35 or $40 million and that he's going to be that much better than a player I can get for $15 or $20 million or even $5 million. Is he an extra win, an extra two wins? Well, if I'm an owner, I'm saying that $20 or $25 million extra for that, is the juice is not worth the squeeze. But he will end up signing somewhere because he's going to have to.
All right, if you had, before we move on and run around baseball here, if you had one of those players that you had a need at both spots, you could use both players, and you had money to spend, what do you think the better investment is, Machado or Harper?
To me, it comes down to years. I want the shortest package possible, which is funny coming from a guy who gave Stan 13 years, so I get that. But if I'm doing it now, I'm saying whoever will give me the smaller number of years, the smaller commitment, because being sustained great as a baseball player for 10 years is really hard. It's possible Stanton does it. You know, Scherzer's a great example of someone who's been good throughout a long-term deal, but there's way more examples of guys who don't perform over the course of a long deal. So I'm choosing length instead of name on the back of the jersey.
Well, one more last thing, Dave, on Harper. A quick question. You think he'll have a deal sooner rather than later? Like some feel, I think that it could happen by the end of the week, maybe with the Phils. You think there's a good chance of that?
Yeah, I mean, again, when you talk to players, when the cameras are off, for position players, spring training is a grind. And right now, Harper gets to not be in spring training. Would he rather be with his teammates? Would he rather be in the clubhouse? Probably. But at the end of the day, he knows that he only needs a couple of weeks to get ready for the season. For Keuchel and for Kimbrel, it's a little bit harder. You need, for a bullpen guy, you got to stretch your arm out and then go back-to-back to be ready for the season. And for a starter, you've got to get your pitches up to 100 by opening week. So those guys have to get going way faster than the position players.
All right, we're talking to David Sampson, CBS Sports HQ, Major League Baseball analyst, former executive with the Marlins. You know, David, away from Machado and Harper here, and you know Brody Van Wagenen, right? You look at the scenario now here with the Mets, and not just the job that he's done so far as GM. How do you handle here Jacob DeGrom, who is, you know, after arbitration due to make $17 million? You know, you represented him, Brody did. He wants a long-term deal. He's 30 years of age. You still got two more years of control for DeGrom. How do you handle Jacob DeGrom coming off the Cy Young Award if you're Brody Van Wagenen in the Mets?
Well, the first thing I'll tell you is this. The greatest line of the offseason was Brody saying, I'm going to recuse myself and not be involved in the DeGrom extension. Well, of course that's not right, because if you're an owner or the GM, the Wilpon family, you're going to lean on your GM, because this guy knows DeGrom, the truth about the player. Does anything hurt? What does he feel about the Mets? What does he feel about New York? What does he feel about his long-term prospects of pitching? Agents know this about players, and Brody can't unlearn that. So whether he says he's not going to get involved, believe me, he's involved. The second story I'll tell you is about John Henry. When he owned the Marlins, he was a small revenue, small market champion. Now that he owns the Red Sox, he's a large revenue, large market champion. whatever side you're on, that's the side you play. Right now, Brody is on the GM side. He knows exactly what DeGrom wants, and his job is to not give it to him. That's why it's such an interesting negotiation.
I know. Do you think you think right now, do you think a deal gets done before opening day?
I do not. I think that it's going to be very difficult for them to come to an agreement because DeGrom wants to, my guess is he wants to live in the Scherzer above Corbin. He wants to be Scherzer. He wants to be Greinke. And he deserves to be that if you look at just what the quality of his arm is. But the days of the Greinke deals, you know, the 7 years, $210 million, I just don't think you're doing that. As a matter of fact, I know you're not doing that for a 30-year-old pitcher, whether it's Jacob DeGrom or not.
All right.
The other thing is...
No,
sorry,
go ahead. No, go ahead. The other thing...
Regression, right? Let's look at the Mets right now. They've got the best starting pitcher on the planet and the best closer on the planet. What are the chances that those two guys repeat their seasons? It's almost zero. So the Mets, while they're saying they're the best team in the East and Brody's talking about competing and winning the division, I have them as the most disappointing team of this coming season without Cespedes, who I don't think will play this year, if maybe at the end of the year, and you're going to get regression from players and you've got an old Cano. I just think they're not in a position to compete against the Phillies and the Nationals.
Oh, Dave, I'm a Mets fan. You're killing me, dude. Come on.
Just tell me, as a Met fan, how can Edwin Diaz have as good a year this year as he had last year? How's it possible?
I just didn't want to hear you say that. That's
Taz is hopeful, David.
I'm delusional. That's all. I'm just delusional.
You're not
paying me enough to not say stuff.
I know. That's a good point. Good point. I agree.
David, when you look at that National League right now, as pitchers and catchers here have opened up, and we're getting inching closer and closer to games down in spring training. Where do you think the strength of the National League lies where?
I think it lies in the National League East. I think when you look at the Nationals and the Phillies and the Braves, and, you know, forget the Marlins and the Mets for a moment, but when you look at those three teams and with the unbalanced schedule, you're playing within the division so much, I think that you'll have a division winner and a wild card, maybe two wild cards come out of the NL East, and that's exciting for those cities. But I think that's where the strength is in the National League.
All right, how about over to the American League, and you look at that AL East, and we know the great rivalry between the Red Sox and the Yankees, but do you think the Yankees have done enough this offseason? And they've still got a big chip here with Machado, so that could also change things as well. But as it lays right now, do you think the Yankees have done enough to surpass the Red Sox in the AL East or no?
I do not. Even with the Red Sox not bringing Kimbrel back, you know, bullpen arms, as you know, aren't the same from year to year, as we just talked about with Diaz. The bottom line is the Yankees are built to get to October with that lineup, so they're going to get there. But I just don't think they're built to get through October, and they need more starters. You know, bringing Sabathia back, that feels good, but he's not CC Sabathia. He's a number four starter, maybe a 4-5 starter now. And then, you know, you're hoping for Tanaka to stay healthy, but he's a good 2-3 starter.
Right.
Severino, if he can rebound, he's maybe a 2. So the Yankees do need, in my mind, more starting pitching. James Paxton, another guy, you're looking at regression. He had an unbelievable year last year. He's never put in the 200-inning season, as far as I can recall. So I'm very worried about the starting staff for the Yankees.
All right, when you look at that American League on the whole here, you know, the Astros, the Indians, you have the Red Sox here. What do you think right now, as camps are opening up and spring training, pitchers and catchers are reporting here, where do you think the strength of the American League lies, David?
I think the strength is in the AL East because it's fun to watch when you've got the Red Sox and the Yankees in the same division getting to play each other 18 times. I think the division that I'm least interested in is the Central. The Indians win that division every year in spring training. What's cool is I think this year is not going to be as easy for them. I don't think they're as good. They've lost some players, and I think the Twins made some pretty good signings, and they were a good team 2 years ago and had an off year, and they may grow and possibly compete. The White Sox, I think, are a ways away. So I think the AL Central is semi-interesting, maybe. But, of course, the AL East, you know, we get to watch that a lot, and that's fun to watch.
All right, David, last one here for me, man. Who signs first, Machado, Harper?
Boy, it's like the North going and the South going Zacks and Dr. Seuss. If you don't know it, look it up. It's the greatest Dr. Seuss story. These two guys, neither one wants to sign first, and no one's budging. Because if one of them signs, then the other one knows what he has to beat. And each of the players wants to beat the other. So I was secretly thinking that maybe they'll be the colluders and they'll sign together. because then it all comes out at the same time and they can say, oh, I had no idea what the other one was going to sign for. But if you're going to make me choose, I think that Harper signs first because I think Harper knows that he's got the $300 million on the table and he's going to take it, and then Machado comes in under that.
You know, David, we'll close it out here. I want to get your thoughts on the news coming out of Giants camp that Bruce Bochy, this is going to be his final year as manager out in San Francisco with the Giants. A three-time winning World Series manager, one of the best in the game. Some people say combination of X's and O's and handling people and egos. There's not a better manager in the sport. You know, the impact of Bochy out there in San Francisco on baseball and the fact that this is his final year.
I think it's great that he announced it, and he didn't have to spend the whole season answering questions about it, and the front office didn't have to. The players didn't have to. They can honor him the way they want to honor him. When you win three rings, you are in quite a crowd. I think there's four or five managers, you know, Casey Stengel, Joe Torre, who have three or more rings, and he's a Hall of Famer. He's done a great job. But again, you need the players. Look what the Giants did last year. They're not going to be much better this year. He had a great team, and he made that great team greater. It's hard for a baseball manager to make a bad team good, but a manager can make a good team great, and that's what Bochy was really good at.
Yeah, well said. Hey, David, we appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks, Dave.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.